Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of your favorite TV shows. We are an inclusive recap show.
Yo, 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 it's Salam Nerds. My name is Jeez, a.k.a. Watch Beneath, and I'm here with my boy, Jess.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neves, aka Watch with Neves, and I have a special guest with you today. Welcome to the podcast, Gotham Geek Girl, aka Nadia. How are you?
What's up?
Did you notice that you're in our intro?
No.
You didn't notice that you're in the last picture? It was from when we went to go see Cocaine Bear.
Oh, yeah, that was such a fun time.
That was such a fun time. So for those of you that don't know, I run into Nadia quite a bit. Every time there's like a red carpet event or a promo, we run into each other. We became pretty good friends. And she invited me out to so many events like Brooklyn Comic Con and so many other places. She is in touch. She knows a lot of people. She's a big deal. So thank you for coming on our podcast.
Thank you for having me. Excited.
I know. I've been wanting to have you on our podcast for a long time. I've just been waiting for the right opportunity and the right show to come along so we can talk about it. What are your thoughts about Echo?
So, jump right into it.
Yeah, no spoilers. We'll just do an overall thoughts and then we'll get into it and do recaps.
I was like pretty excited at first because Marvel kind of like gaslit us into thinking it's gonna be super dark, put on the mature rating. And like, I am a huge fan of the Netflix series.
Yeah.
If you follow me, I talk a lot of shit. And I am not the biggest fan of a lot of the Disney Plus series. I feel like they're rushed. I always say like the episode count is horrible. It's not enough time to narratively tell a real story.
Yeah.
And just overall, the overall tone, it's a lot lighter than I prefer. So when they announced the Echo show, I was already excited because I'm already a fan of the character. Yeah. I really love like Daredevil and like a lot of the street level like themes. And going into the series, I was pretty excited. Aside from Hawkeye, because that's another story. That was like her introduction. Yeah. I could go on a whole rant about how I dislike Hawkeye. But
oh, you're on the same page as me then.
Yeah, I am not a fan of Hawkeye. So I was really hoping that this series would do her a little more justice. I got the review screener for the first three episodes. Going in, I was super excited. I actually really enjoyed the first three so far. But I basically said at the end of that review, I was like, there's going to be a big issue because there's only two episodes left. Instead of six episodes, it was five, which is way worse because six was already terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm like, two episodes left. We have no plot. There is no story. There is nothing like that. Nothing further to tell. And I don't know. It was, I wanted so badly to love it. I still like it more than some other Disney Plus series.
Yeah.
But overall, I think Disney needs to have a serious meeting, stop putting out content, and get their shit together.
Yeah, I am actually very happy that they dropped all five episodes at once because I don't think I would have liked the show as much if I had to wait week for week for each episode because there were a few episodes and there were like almost nothing happened. Like I was just like, where's the plot going? What's happening here? Like even when I was writing my notes, I'm just like, oh, that's all that happened in this episode. I was like,
yeah,
figure it out. So I'm glad they dropped all of them in one season because as a binge, it wasn't too bad. As a week-to-week show, I could see people having issues with it, because you go like 2 weeks with nothing happening, you're like, okay, where is the show going? This feels like Secret Invasion already now, right? So that's why I think they did one good thing. But I agree, the 5 episode is a horrible thing. Like 6 episode was bad. And it's not just like Marvel. Star Wars shows that do that too also have the same issues. Like Obi-Wan Kenobi, everyone's like, nothing's happened in like the first 3 episodes. Like, well, where, how are they going to wrap all this up? And then when they do, it feels rushed. So I totally get where you're coming from. I'm pretty much on the same boat with you. There are things that I really, really loved about this show. I love the cultural aspect of it. I thought it was really cool. I got to learn a lot. I love meeting her family. The power change, I'm a little mixed on, because I really do love like superheroes without powers. Like, it just gives you like more to root for. You're like even Daredevil, who has powers, but he's like this ground level hero who doesn't have like a big superpower. All his superpowers are like the equivalent of Captain America. Like, all his senses are like enhanced a little bit, and he's just not as strong. So like, I dig that. And I don't know if this character needed it, but the way they handle it, I was like, okay, I get it. Because it also explained why her name is Echo, which I really loved. And I was like, not since Kamala Khan, where like, I was like, oh, that name actually means something to the character. I was like, I like the fact that it did that. So I thought that was really cool. But I don't know. How do you like the character Echo compared to the comics?
So I think Alacua Cox was amazing casting. She is phenomenal. Like, she's actually deaf in real life. And yeah, a lot of the cast had to learn how to speak with ASL. I hope I said that correctly. But had to learn how to speak with her. And I really appreciate like the effort that she put into this character. Like, not only her ethnic background, she actually comes from indigenous background. And she gave it her all. Like, she was a badass. And I really enjoy like her fight sequences. So I'll go back a little bit into Hawkeye.
Sure.
I had a lot of issues with Hawkeye, aside from pacing, aside from how they presented some of their characters, mainly Kingpin. Bullshit. That was not the Kingpin we saw in Daredevil. Absolutely not. He was getting his ass rocked by a kid that took karate class. But aside from that, had a lot of issues with the way they displayed Kazi the clown. He was kind of like Echo's, like Echo and Kingpin's like henchman.
Yeah.
In the comics, he's kind of like equivalent to like the Joker or Deadshot. And he was a cornball in Hawkeye. So I was already annoyed with that.
Yeah.
So going into it, a lot of people didn't really get to see a side of Echo that I would have liked. Because most people that aren't familiar with the comics were like, oh, she's boring. Why would I watch her series?
Yeah.
So I kind of wish Hawkeye had more episodes and did a little more to establish these characters.
Yeah.
Another thing that Hawkeye was a missed opportunity was Echo's the original Ronin. Before Clint, Maya Lopez is Ronin.
Yeah.
So that was pretty annoying to me that they completely dropped the ball on that. And then they made it that she thinks Clint killed her father instead of Matt. In the comic, Matt is framed to have killed her father.
Yeah.
So they completely changed that. They didn't bother me too much. I was like, maybe they'll tie in Daredevil a different way.
Yeah.
Her and Matt date in the comics. Maybe they'll throw that in later.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Overall, for me, I think they could have done a better job.
Yeah. Who hasn't Matt dated in the comics?
Yeah, he swings. He's like Bruce Wayne. He swings.
I know. It's a bit of a slut. I love the fact that he doesn't let his disability prevent him from getting some ass. I respect that.
He's affair with a married woman, so he gets
I know.
Around.
he does get around. MGF is in the comments. He says, I kind of felt the Hawkeye once Yelena showed up, it took away Echo's momentum. I kind of agree with that. Mm-hmm. Yelena did show, although I do think that the story left room for Maya to become the Ronin in the future. Yeah, we could see that. I wouldn't be surprised if we get to see that. I agree. I agree with everything you're saying. I really like seeing Maya. Also, this first episode had like half of Hawkeye in it. Kind of like, I was like, all right, we've seen all this. You're just wasting time that you need because you only have 5 episodes and you're using like 15 minutes of it to give us Hawkeye.
The only benefit to that is people like may not have to watch Hawkeye. I still recommend watching it first.
Yeah.
But like, it gave enough where you don't have to watch it. But at the same time, like we said, 5 episodes, you need to get, you know, some solid story in there.
Yeah, yeah. Also, there's a little clicking sound. I don't know if it's you tapping something, or I just want to just make you aware of it.
Me?
Yeah, I think it's from you.
I don't hear it on my end.
Oh, okay. I just hear like a tapping, but it's gone now. It might just be your wire hitting your microphone, maybe. Yeah, that might be better. All right, cool. Perfect. Well, let's start recapping this, because a lot of stuff happened and it's kind of really cool. His daredevil powers helped Matt's Constantly find the cheese. Okay, MTF, that's enough comments from you. Oh, man. All right. So I love the way that it begins with the people in her culture and her ancestors and how they come out with the clay. And I've been told that that's like actual belief that they have, which is really cool. I love the fact that they got to bring in actual cultural stuff from like their culture that's real and make it relevant to the plot. I thought that was really, really cool. And then they show Maya as a kid. I got to say, the person they got to cast Maya as a kid looks just like her.
So that's her cousin.
Oh, that makes
that's her cousin. It makes so much sense. I was like, she looks exactly like her.
She's a good little actress. Exactly, she does like such her. A good job. There's one scene where I'm like, oh my God, I love this little girl. And it's the scene where she kicks the ice cream man. It's so funny. She was perfect. Oh man, so I really, really like that. So the movie starts off, or the show starts off. That's one of the things I don't like about the five episodes. It's like a movie cut in pieces. That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like a TV show. Whereas like the MCU in Netflix actually felt like TV shows. Mm-hmm. Like every episode had a cliffhanger or something happening that you were happy or excited to see the next episode. And I don't think we've had that since WandaVision. I think WandaVision is the only one where it kind of felt like that a little bit, but we really haven't had that. All right, so they go to get Coco and they have an accident and the mom dies, and we find out how Maya lost her leg. It was in this accident. So she wakes up and then her grandma's pissed because the dad's like shenanigans or dealings were the reasons that they killed her mom. So because of that, he ends up working for the Kingpin in New York. So they kind of leave. Her best friend was her cousin Bonnie. They separate. Bonnie grows up, and she's actually played by the woman who voiced Kahori in the What If episode, which is
that
super
I did
cool.
not know.
Yeah, I was like,
that's awesome.
Bonnie is the same person. That's so cool. So we have a real life version of her in the MCU. Maybe we get to see Bonnie suit up as Kahori in a Sheikah invasion or something. I don't know. That would be really cool. Secret Wars, actually. But yeah, that would be really, really cool. And then they go into the scene about Hawkeye and they show how his father died and then Kingpin takes her in. What are your thoughts about how they're setting up the show?
Like I said, in terms of like some of the comic changes.
Yeah.
Going into this, I had to kind of take my comic like bias away. Like, that's not accurate. Yeah. And like kind of be like, all right, I could kind of see what they're doing. And one of the things I appreciated is that she still felt kind of like it showed like appreciation for her character, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, even though they made some additional changes, because in the comics, she's a little bit more like a taskmaster.
Yeah, she's like taskmaster. Yeah, you're right. That's
she kind
exactly
of basically can like read lips and can like emulate what she sees. Mm-hmm. With this, they kind of gave her more of like a, I'm trying to think of a word, but more of an actual like supernatural element, and yeah. I kind of liked how they tied that to her heritage. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah,
like embracing the powers like throughout like the generations.
Yeah,
and I thought that was done very well.
And they actually showed like in the beginning of a few episodes like people in her culture, like, you know, from the first episode mm-hmm. to the woman with the gun, and then there was her mom. So it's like a whole bunch of like ancestors and generations, and they show all of that. I thought that was really, really cool. What are your thoughts about the fight with Daredevil? Because that was exciting. I really liked the fight because I feel like as much as I love the fighting and the gruesome and the violence in the Netflix shows, it didn't have the acrobatics that Daredevil has in the comics, right? And then when we watched She-Hulk, it was too much of the acrobatics and not enough of the actual fighting. And I feel like this episode got it really right. It's like they had just as much as like acrobatics and him like jumping through shells and using his billy club, but also him doing like ground level fighting like a brawler. And I feel like it was a really cool fight scene. And I love seeing Maya's fight too, where she's like, they play with the sound and the sound goes out.
Yes, I was going to say that element I loved.
I really, really love that. What are your thoughts about the fight scene?
Well, back to that, I love how they made it seem like, you know, like you can't hear anything. I was if like you're in her perspective and fighting and like
yeah.
how she kind of, I guess, uses the environment similar to Matt, but she's more like resourceful. So yeah. she'll kind of like piece things together really quickly and like make a weapon like right there. I thought it was pretty cool. I think the fight scenes could have been a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always throwing shade, but back to how I hated Moon Knight, and instead of him being like the Punisher,
yeah.
it was more like Barney, and everything happened off camera. Every yeah, single yeah. thing, like there wasn't blood, it wasn't gory. I'm not saying everything has to be violent, but right. everything was off camera.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
For me, I feel like they did a little bit of that, like with Kingpin when he was knocking the guy out. I kind of wanted to see like the end result,
yeah.
but it was a little bit of here. I'll show you this. I'll show you this. I won't show you that. So it was kind of like, I don't know, a little bit of a tease for yeah. them to be like, turn on the mature rating. And then I'm like, I need my Netflix back. I need that team.
yeah. Like it seems mature for a Disney show, but you can't just compare it to a Disney show. You like, if you compare it to other mature shows, it's nowhere near Invincible mm-hmm. or The Boys
exactly.
or something like that. Like you don't get that. So you can't promise us one thing and then like half-ass it a little bit. Right. So I kind of felt like we did get gypped on the violence a little bit. Mostly because of the expectations, right? I think that was probably why I feel that way. But then they also show that she shot Wilson Fisk. Again, happens off camera. We don't see it. Somehow Palpatine returns. Like he survives the freaking gunshot. No explanation. No, you don't need to know. His eye is fine too. Just a little scratch. I don't know how that happened. But that is what happens in the comics too, I believe. I think she gets shot in both eyes in the comics, if I'm correct.
She temporarily blinds him.
Yeah, exactly. What are your thoughts about her beef with Kingpin, the way it starts off?
I thought it was a little like, I guess I was the entire time I was waiting for a plot to develop because it was super weird that the whole thing was just like this weird relationship, this weird vibe, like, I don't know. It wasn't enough for me. It was, like I said, like going into it, I was really enjoying it. But then I was like, what's going to happen next? Like I forgot the guy's name. The one with the thugs, like the henchmen that came into the bowling alley.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was building some kind of bomb. I didn't understand their purpose at all. Like, they're just after Maya.
They were after Maya. And then once they found out Maya's there, they decided to just leave.
It was weird. I don't understand their purpose. And then Kingpin's just like, well, I love you. You're my daughter.
Yeah.
And this happened to me, so feel bad for me. And I was like, all right, he's fucking Wilson Fisk. What he's is like,
when I was a young boy, I beat my daddy with a hammer. Like, he gave her that whole story.
Like, we get that story, but it's like, I don't want to feel bad for him. I don't want to empathize with him. Like, I don't want to save him.
We also already got that. We already got the empathy for him in Daredevil. So we don't really need to do it. We got some people in the comments. Let's see what they are. Delivery Jacob is phenomenal on Reservation Dogs. Yeah, that's or was. Okay. GGG said no Gus, no glory. his recovery time is a lot longer in the comics. I believe.
5 months. Like, he just woke up from a gunshot wound to the head.
I know. He has a very twisted father-daughter dynamic, and men will become kingpin of crime before they go to therapy. He'll become mayor before he goes to therapy.
Intense.
Yeah, exactly. So over here, we meet my favorite character, Biscuit. I was like, all right, who is this guy? Oh, my God. I love Biscuit. He was so funny. Then Maya also goes to the bowling alley. She meets her uncle. And that's kind of where episode one ends. And then in two, they give us the history of her culture as they play this, like, old school lacrosse game, which is a real game they played in the culture. And they would play for high stakes. Like, they would actually play for, like, having to leave, like, the territory and stuff. It's kind of like, you know, the Jets and the Giants play a football game and the loser has to leave New York. Like, it's one of those things. I thought that was really cool. I thought that was a really interesting stuff I love learning about people's culture through the medium that is superhero comics. I thought that was really cool. What are your thoughts about that?
Sorry, I just forgot my thought. Oh, I just wanted to say quickly, I couldn't stand Biscuit. In the first three episodes, I was like, this is Marvel trying to be Marvel, like, well, Disney. We need something funny. We can't be too serious.
Yeah,
it felt so forced. Like, I called him a fake. I forgot what I called in my review. A fake Nacho Libre or some shit. but I feel like Jack Black.
Jack Black, but okay, yeah, yeah.
By the end, I kind of liked his character a little bit. He was a little bit of a badass. Like, he was like a, what do you call it? Like a small town country boy.
Yeah.
I don't really get outside much, so let me have some fun.
My favorite part was when he was driving the truck back and he's all banged up and his grandma sees him and he just looks at her. I think that's the funniest scene in the movie. I cracked up. That was pretty funny.
But back to the family dynamic. Like, I guess also too, it was like a little weird, like her and her cousin haven't seen each other in 20 years. Like,
yeah,
it was like, very like,
I didn't follow that because it seemed like they kept in touch, but like it was like very one-sided where Maya was like, I don't know, I want to see this person. I don't care.
And then one of the things I said too in my review was, I'm happy that they brought it up later. I was like, how the hell is she still getting her old house? How does it look exactly the same? Nothing is touched 20 years later.
Yeah.
But later on, they said that the grandmother kept it. So I was like, oh, okay, like, I guess.
which isn't uncommon for somebody who has a tragedy and somebody dies. I hear that it's actually like a thing that people do. Keep it like a museum and they'll keep it looking exactly the way it is.
Yeah.
It's a way to like deal with the trauma, which is very, very interesting. So in this episode, Maya decides to go on Mission Impossible on the train and kind of install a bomb into the cargo. And we got Biscuit just following her in the car. The thing that I really liked about this was really the sound. The sound was amazing. It kept you really engaged. You really felt for her. You're like, she can't hear the car. She can't hear the train, but she has to like navigate like what's going on. And we as an audience get to experience that because they play with the sound a little bit. And I thought the train sequence was pretty good. It made me nervous for the actual character. What are your thoughts about that?
It was cool. I guess that was one of the most like adrenaline filled scenes.
Yeah.
But I guess back to the overall plot, I still don't understand.
I don't
know what was happening.
I don't either. I think the plot was she was supposed to damage Wilson Fisk's warehouse and he was going to lose a lot of money, but like he's so rich that it really didn't make a difference. He wasn't even mad about it. Just like, all right,
you coming home?
Yeah, you coming home? Let me buy you some Levain cookies. Which, by the way, are delicious. I don't know if you've ever had Levain cookies, but they are delicious. That's the one thing the Kingpin got right. And that's all that happened in this episode. Nothing else that happened in terms of plot wise or action wise. So it was a very low, I guess, like content episode. But then in the next episode, they show the Light Horsemen, who are like these horsemen. They were kind of like cops and stuff like that. They would protect the neighborhood. And one of her ancestors was like a great shot. And then she comes back in at the very end. We learn more about the grandma. The grandpa and the grandpa interaction were pretty good. I love the fact that he's still in love with her. And that she was like over it.
They were cute.
They were very cute. I did like them. I thought that was really cool. And then they all get captured in a bowling alley. And then Bonnie just happens to come. She gets captured too. Maya gets captured. The uncle gets captured. Everybody's getting captured. I was like, all right, not a lot of self-awareness over here going on. But Maya breaks out, starts fighting them. Again, like, you, great fight scene, but like, they promised us more violence than we got, is how I feel. What about you?
Like, I love how she used the like the game, like the gun thingy.
Yeah.
How she was like using, like I said before, like she's really resourceful.
Yeah.
So I did like that, like interactive kind of fight style. But I still wanted more blood.
I wanted more blood. I know what you mean. And then the Kingpin shows up at the very end, and we're just like, oh shit. Okay, is this what's gonna happen? Like already? Like, okay. Let's find out. And then he comes out with like, hey, let me put this contact lens in your eyes so you can understand what I'm saying. And it's just like this AI doing sign language. And at the end, she goes like, motherfucker, you couldn't learn sign language for me.
For real.
Like, which is really interesting because everyone in her family knows sign language.
Yes.
And they all learned it for her. Kingpin couldn't be bothered. He's like, I'm going to hire an ASL translator and then
kill him
and then kill her. Like, that's how disposable a person is to him. He's so wild. I'm like, dude, you learned Mandarin in Daredevil. Like, how the hell do you not learn ASL? It was really, really funny to me. But yeah, what are your thoughts about the Kingpin interaction with Maya? Other than the Levain cookies, which is probably like the one thing that could have brought her over to his side.
I'm always going back to like my shade, but like I didn't like how they presented him in Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Back to this, it's also like, this is not the guy that takes off heads with car doors.
Like, yeah.
I do understand like the whole like uncle, father, daughter dynamic. And like, I guess like they're, you know, complicated history, and he kind of made her a monster, that whole conversation kind of like made sense.
Yeah,
but it's also like, what's happening? What's the point? Like, he just wants to bring her home and she's like, no, I'm not going home, and he gets angry. Like, I don't know, it was very weird.
Yeah, it was. I wanted very weird more, because he was like, okay, if you don't want to come, it's fine. She doesn't want to come. Then he gets all pissy and mad and wants to blow up their powwow. And is like, bro, maybe you do need therapy, sir. I don't know. I don't know what it is with Kingpin. Like, he doesn't seem to be like have a plan. He's kind of just like going on emotions and however he feels.
And that doesn't seem like Wilson Fisk. He's organized and controlled.
He's very calculative.
Yeah.
So definitely got that. We got some people in the comments. Biscuit was a real one because he brought snacks to the final showdown. Seeketh like that made me kind of crave more of a Western element. Sure. Single mission episode. I love the inversion of the trope of the Native American lawmen and the white raiders. Yeah. Oh, that is a great point. That was really cool. Yeah, definitely got that.
Like, these white men coming in here trying to mess up shit.
Yeah. And then he says, at least his first appearance wasn't via a picture, iPhone picture. And Fisk was worth indeed rating of all, with the worst indeed rating of all time. Yeah, it was a bad rating for Fisk. All right, so they go to this powwow and they're doing some kind of thing with it. Maya comes to his hotel and he's like, here's this hammer, bash me in, kill me. Again, she doesn't take the bait. And then he tells her, when I was a boy, he does his speech about how he killed his father. And she's like, damn, you killed him? Like, you left out that part. Like, that's a live omission. He totally left out the part where he killed his father. And I don't know, I thought that was really interesting. And then she decides not to join him. He gets pissed, wants to blow up their powwow, and then also decides to kidnap her grandma. He goes to a postal office and scares him. And I was like, oh, this is Wilson Fisk. Like, oh, this is going to be scary. But they didn't show it. They didn't show him kidnapping her. And the next time we see her, she's like in a dress. And I was like, that's not what she wore. Did you dress her? Like, I don't know what he did. There's so much in this show that's kind of like left off screen, which kind of bothers me. What are your thoughts?
Back to what I was saying before about Moon Knight. This is one of my major like problems with Disney Plus, is they're too scared to show shit, and it's getting annoying. Like, I'm gonna sound like a Marvel hater right now, but I honestly would give up the entire Disney Plus slate for one episode of Daredevil. And the only thing I'll keep Miss Marvel. Miss Marvel has my heart.
Yeah,
and it's ironic because it's so childish, but it has my heart. It's my favorite Disney Plus series by far.
Yeah, the thing about Miss Marvel is that Miss Marvel was made for a younger audience, so it knew what it was doing and it had a plan and it did it.
It was well written. It had a plot.
Yeah, it had a plot. Had everything. It show, and I feel like this show tries to do a lot of that here too, where like they have the big costume reveal and her name is relevant to her culture, and like it's kind of like the blueprint now. Even Blue Beetle did a lot of the same thing. It seems like a lot of the superheroes that are of color have like a community-based relationship, whereas a lot of the white characters are more individual, like Tony Stark and Captain America, Natasha. Like, they're all just like by themselves, right? They don't really depend on their family. Mm-hmm. Whereas like these people, they get their strength from their family, which I think is really cool. And other superheroes are like, my families are my weakness, because if my enemies will know, they'll hurt them. So it's a very unique twist that Ms. Marvel did that a lot of people are kind of like following. And I kind of dig that. And that's one of the things that I really liked about this episode, that we got to see all of her culture and how it aligns with her power. I thought that was really cool. We got to see her mom, and she's like a healer. Even though Maya is still a little evil, trying to kill a bird for no
reason. Yeah, I was like, oh my God.
I was like, damn, Maya. Like, and then like, you could see she has a dark side to her a little bit. But yeah, the bird ends up being a really interesting part of their culture too. Mm-hmm. And it's a real thing. Like, the woodpecker warns them of like trouble, and it's something that culture really believes. I thought that was really cool. And then they have this ceremony. Maya finds out that, you know, Fisk has Bonnie and her grandma, so she goes to try to save him. And then Echo kind of just like finds this bird. Then she goes to this house. She sees her mom. She resolves things with her mom, gets to talk to her. It's kind of like Avatar, The Last Airbender. You can talk to like your previous avatars a little bit. That's what she's doing. She can see it. Like, she confronts Kingpin, and they have this fight. And then she's like, touches him in the head. And I was like, oh shit, she's gonna take away his bending. Like, what is she doing? It's like Avatar. But she went into his head, and she kind of tried to like heal his trauma. But again, like, I didn't understand what happened, because he's still a bad guy. She didn't change him.
I'm like, what are they going for? Like, don't try to like make Fisk a good guy. Stop with this whole what's the phrase that I'm looking for? Like, they did it with Loki. Like, they forgot all his past transgressions. Like, it's annoying.
Yeah, yeah. Let's forgive him all of that and just be make him a good guy. Yeah, I didn't really agree with that. But Biscuit does come in, saves the powwow. The uncle shoots a sniper from like far away and saves the day. And then the rocket explodes in the air. I don't know if that's how rockets explode. Like, like, don't they need to hit something before they explode? I don't know. I'm not an expert, but. Yeah, I thought that was really fun. I loved her new costume reveal. I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, they get a little Fast and Furious barbecue happening. Just sitting with family, having a barbecue. I was like, okay, I see you. And then Kingpin, there's an after credit scene. Kingpin finds out that there is an election happening, and they need a brawler to win this election. He's like, brawler, that's me.
That's me.
I'm going to go, and he's going to go and run for mayor, which I think is going to be the big plot to Daredevil. So what are your thoughts about how this show ended?
I wanted more. I really wanted so much. I wanted to love it. I think you just brought up like a lot of good points about, I guess like the family aspect and her family. I really love like all the Choctaw references. Even like her grandmother, creating the outfit for her and going back for the sewing machine.
Yeah.
And having this kind of like, I guess like arc or moment of like a connection, like she's trying to reconnect with her granddaughter. And I kind of like that family aspect a lot. And I would have liked to see a little bit more of like the Native American culture.
That was like a highlight. Whole
scene was disturbed.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish we would have seen like a little bit more of it, especially because now that's like, it's intertwined with her powers.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see just a little bit more of that. And then, like I said, the whole arc of just this dynamic with her and Kingpin, like that's not a plot line.
Yeah. They didn't really resolve anything. They kind of just like went their separate ways, but didn't really resolve anything. It almost feels like this was a longer show and they asked them to cut out a whole lot of things, and they were like, well, we'd rather cut out the plot than cut out the cultural stuff, and they probably kept that, which I think makes sense because that's the highlight of the show. But it also makes the show a little bit confusing. Like, again, like if someone told me what's the plot of Echo, I'm like, I don't know. It's like she fights with Kingpin, she has beef with him,
yeah,
nothing gets resolved, nothing.
It's
is
like come
clear.
Home
Yeah.
I don't want to go home. I'm going home by myself. I'll make you come home.
Yeah. You're like, I'll beat up another ice cream man for you. Was that what you want? I love when she kicks the ice cream man. That's my favorite part. It's so funny. There are definitely parts that I really, really like, but it didn't feel like the story was cohesive is the problem. And I wish we had a little bit more of that. But again, like there's a lot worse shows out there. There's a lot better show out there somewhere in the middle. So I totally get that. But those are my thoughts about it. We got a few more comments. We go, it's cool that POC storytellers create heroes from their culture, are the source of their strength. Yes. Yeah, that is really, really cool. I don't think it was so much about redemption arc as much as it was about as a change in fixed trajectory by making it as much about trauma. I agree. I think that's fair, but I just don't feel like it connected with the audience. Like if I tell people, like if I have to like go on a podcast and listen to somebody break it down for me to understand it, then like I didn't really understand it. It's kind of like Inception. If you need someone to really explain to you what happened in Inception, does that make it a great movie? I don't know. But same thing with this. Like, I don't really follow what happened with him, with Kingpin and Maya. I don't think Maya knows. I don't think Kingpin knows. I think they're just going to ignore it. They're going to pretend like it never happened. Like, I don't think when Kingpin goes and becomes a mayor, I feel like he's still going to be a villain. There's nothing redeemable at this point. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I had one more point I wanted to get across. I completely forgot. Well, back to the whole like family thing. I was going to say, especially like with Blue Beetle, I'm Puerto Rican, yeah. And I know like I miss my grandma. She passed, but I know that my grandma would know all the gossip before I would know something about myself. It was like in Latino households, like, you know, like everybody knows everybody. like stuff. So I really love that like dynamic. And then I guess like with this show, even though like she was in New York, she clearly was still embracing like her roots somewhat, like with her father. So I kind of like that like connection that like she still had with her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then even though she was kind of like cast away from her family, when she came back, they clearly tried to like embrace her. Like her cousin still knew who she was. He's like, Maya, I'm so excited. The big city girl.
Yeah. They didn't miss a beat. Like Biscuit was all about them. Bonnie was so excited to see her. It still never resolved like why she didn't want to see Bonnie. Like I never really understood that. Like where was the disconnect? She was just being a moody brat. I don't know. Like
I would have liked, this is another thing that they failed to develop a full story.
Yeah.
They could have maybe showed Maya feeling some kind of guilt, maybe. Maybe she doesn't want her family to know that she's a psychopathic murderer or something. Like, maybe she doesn't want them. They never really develop her reasonings not wanting to see them.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Like, there are things that we can speculate, but if the show doesn't spell it out for us, like, even a little bit, like, I don't think it did a good job then, right? But, yeah, those are our thoughts. Michael has one more thing. He says, I think it's going to be a little bit more twisted sense of higher purpose for Fisk. That might be true. He might feel like he has a higher purpose now, and he's going to make New York for the better. I feel like they're going to go down the Trump route and make him, like, a Trump-esque kind of thing.
It's funny because Daredevil, I feel like a lot of people didn't really grasp it, but one of its core themes was gentrification.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it was like a core theme. And I think it went over a lot of people's heads.
Yeah.
And it's wild because like while Fisk has like some ideologies that kind of make sense.
Yeah.
He's also that like evil developer that's like, fuck poor people.
Yeah.
Like I'm fixing the city. It's like there's a lot of themes in there. So I'm kind of hoping we can get back to like real serious shit.
Yeah, I totally agree. The irony is like Health Kitchen is super gentrified.
Yeah, it's super gentrified.
like the story doesn't
there's
even
no
make
crime
sense.
For Matt anymore.
It's all like restaurants owned by like gay men and gay people, and it's like super safe. Like I don't know.
Health all Kitchen skyrise doesn't glass buildings. There's no more.
Some of the Fisk one. He did.
Fisk one.
Oh man, that's really, really funny. Well, Nadia, it was very, very awesome to have you on our podcast. You're welcome anytime. It was super cool to have you. Any final thoughts before you go?
Oh, this was so fun.
I'm glad you're fun.
Yeah, I guess for final thoughts, I'm kind of excited to see where things are going to go because it seems like Marvel Netflix is officially back.
Yeah.
I don't know if this means all of the Defenders, but we know they're going back to Daredevil, back to Punisher, back to, you know, Fisk. And I'm praying I'm praying we get these characters back in their prime, like good storytelling, good action, just overall like a beautiful production. So I'm hoping.
I know Daredevil, like all three seasons are amazing, but like season one of Jessica Jones is so underrated. It's so damn good.
Perfection.
Is David Tennant just
Kilgrave?
Oh my god,
he's like, probably top five Marvel villains.
He might be top three for me because like
so dark.
It's so dark. Like at least like, you know, Thanos is like random when he like hurts people and he's not like R-wording them. Like he's freaking Kilgrave takes consent away from people. He does some horrible shit and it's wild. But he thinks he's the victim. And he has this crazy, he's such a good villain, man. I feel like I want to do a Jessica Jones rewatch and just like,
yes,
just do a podcast on that.
We should do a Marvel Netflix like recap.
Let's do it. When does Daredevil come out? Let's do it before Daredevil comes out. We'll do,
yeah, we got time. Daredevil. They scrapped the entire, they're lineup, starting right? over. So,
yeah. All right. That's cool. Let people know where they can find you.
Oh, yeah. You can find me at Gotham Geek Girl on all platforms. I predominantly write, so GothamGeekGirl.com. You can also find my video reviews on YouTube, also Gotham Geek Girl. Twitter, Jay is top tier. Twitter, Facebook, and I'm trying the clock, but mostly I recycle my reviews and interviews on TikTok. But yeah.
Awesome, guys. Definitely go look her up. She has amazing content. She has a lot of cool interviews with a lot of cool people. And, you know, hopefully get to see you soon in some other event. It'll be really, really cool. But thank you so much for joining us and everyone else. Until next time, guys. Salam, nerds.